finally a good erotic vampire film about lesbians.
Yeah. But were they lesbians?
They were totally lesbians.
I thought she was just being seduced by the vampire.
I think she was, but I think also it worked, you know? Someone who's not...
So you're saying vampires can not only kill you, they can turn you gay?
Wow, that is not what I said. That is not what I said at all. Can you imagine some terrible, terrible, like, political monster who's like, you're not born that way because vampires can turn you gay? That's the next argument.
Yeah, let's write that movie.
Oh, God, no. It made me so sad. No, I think that Carmilla awakens that poor Lara's inner feelings.
Inner lesbian?
Yes.
Inner vagina tingle?
Yes. She's like, hello. Theme song. We need theme song this first. Okay, Carmilla has lesbians.
So wait, is this a movie about vampires or a movie about lesbians?
Yes.
That's why I loved it so much.
Carmilla, finally a good movie.
About lesbians.
And vampires. And vampire lesbians. Mm-hmm. And lesbians who want to become vampires.
And vampires that want to become lesbians.
Yeah.
But are they... Is she lesbian?
I think so. I think we would have... Yeah. You don't think so?
Uh-uh.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay.
Theme song!
Theme song! It's me, Sarah Marie, and I'm a sucker for a good vampire film.
And my name is Casey, and I'm just a sucker.
Ow! But for reals, Casey writes and studies scripts and produces and acts in films, and I think that she is a damn genius.
Oh, thanks, girl. Yeah, and Sarah Marie just really loves vampires.
Yeah.
And together, we are Little Renegade Films, a production house that creates podcasts and web series and other sweet treats.
And this is Bloodsuckers, a podcast where we endeavor to watch every vampire film we can get our fangs into.
As super fans and filmmakers, we will be pumping you full of our own special brand of heroin, i.e. commentary and opinions. And stuff.
So suck it up and listen. And tonight we sink our teeth into Carmilla from 2019. But first, messy mouths. You know when you try to eat a nice clean meal and you put down newspaper but you end up spraying blood everywhere?
I hate that.
Yeah, sometimes our mouths get messy and we mess up all over the place. Here's last week's disgusting accidents. In an earlier podcast, I do believe the podcast movie was Eternal. We talked a lot about dudes writing films. Mm-hmm. And how bad they were at it and how they wrote with their penis. And mm-hmm. I just want to say that not all dudes. I think we're just teasing the straight white men dudes. Is that something I should say?
I mean, I've had similar thoughts after that. I don't want to trash
white dudes,
straight white dudes or men at all. We didn't start out this podcast to be mad at them or talk about how they do a bad job.
Yeah.
But there are some tragic flaws in a lot of these screenplays when it comes to women and POCs and minorities.
Treatment
of the female character. Like, that is consistently in all films up until today that we have watched. That is, unless you're a straight white dude, you see it.
Yeah.
And it's really fucking annoying.
Yeah, I agree.
That it's consistently everywhere.
So unless you're a straight white dude, we're not yelling at you, I think is...
I don't even want to yell at straight white dudes, because I like to believe that there are straight white dudes out there that can write a really awesome film.
I know
that
several.
Can be, like, understand a world view, not be myopic towards story and their
that
experience.
That's a good word. What does that word mean?
Yeah, can you look that up? I'm worried now that I just you.
No, I love
wrong.
It. Nearsighted.
Oh, great. I did it right.
You did it great. I love it.
I know. I believe there are men out there that are straight and white and aren't nearsighted about the rest of the world outside of their own personal experience. And mm-hmm. I want to be able to celebrate them. And I believe there is a vampire movie out there somewhere that will allow us to do that.
Yeah.
Currently, the films we have watched are enormously disappointing. And they do not make their writers and producers look particularly worldly or educated.
Until...
Or like they fucking care about anybody other than themselves. Until
this movie.
But this was written by a woman.
And directed by a woman. So, yeah. Yeah, okay.
Well, I was about to say until Carmilla, but then I remember it was written and directed by a woman. Thank God. So
produced by women.
Produced by women. So there's no... And I would like to say that though it is almost entirely female done, the male characters were not poorly written.
No, not at all. They were great.
Yeah.
They were confused and terrible too. So that's my messy mouth.
It's a good messy mouth.
Yeah.
We are not man haters, nor did we start this podcast to be that.
We're not mad at you. We're just disappointed.
We are not mad at you. We're just disappointed. Mm-hmm. At the ones who have managed to write and get a movie made, we know that this is not all men. And if a woman writes a terrible movie, we will talk about it and we will be disappointed.
Oh my God. We'll be so disappointed in her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will not hold back.
Tonight we drink deeply of the film
Carmilla!
2019's Carmilla. And here is what, where we watched it was Shudder. And here's what Shudder had to say about what this film is.
Okay. Isolated from the outside world, 15-year-old Lara lives in seclusion on a vast country estate with her father and her strict governess, Miss Fontaine. Late one evening, a mysterious carriage crash brings a young girl into their home to recuperate. Lara immediately becomes enchanted by this strange visitor who arouses her curiosity and awakens her burgeoning desires.
Burgeoning desires. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Now you're on an elevator and you've got to pitch this to a producer.
All right. Sorry I trapped you here in this producer, in this elevator, Mr. Producer. No, I have this really amazing movie I want to pitch to you.
I'm a straight white man.
Okay, we're going to go back. I know, you're not going to like it, but listen up. Oh, actually, you're going to love it. We're going to go back to, I don't know, 1700s. Okay. Really, it can be a little ambiguous. We don't have to define it particularly, but it's like olden days, okay? And there is a family that lives in this house. It is secluded. The mother's died. There's a young girl who is of a sensitive disposition.
Oh, okay.
I would say. And we set the stage by really demonstrating what it's like to be a woman back then. Okay?
Okay.
So much so, like we show her...
Sorry, I'm going to need you to wrap this up. I've got like two floors before I get to my meeting.
There's a young girl. There's a carriage crash that brings another young girl into this picture, right? This young girl is believed to be calling the devil because she's left-handed and they believed that back then. So there's already the devil up in this mix, but this other girl comes in. We don't know it yet, but she's a vampire and she seduces this other girl in a totally appropriate old-timey way, by the way.
All right.
And then they realize that this other girl is a vampire and they slay her.
Oh, shit.
And then cut off the other girl's left hand because it's the devil.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
That's wild. You were going real boring for a real long time, but then it just like picked right the fuck up.
Yeah, well, I cut out all the bullshit and fat that I'm going to talk about later.
Oh, my goodness. You can have all my money. Let's make this film.
Yes.
That's how it goes. You want to know blood tropes, trivia bites?
Yes.
Okay.
Bring it on.
I don't think there were any blood tropes in this, nor have I Googled it.
Well.
Oh, lesbian vampire. Duh.
Is that a trope right off the bat?
That's a fucking trope. Yeah.
Is that just because the only thing that have, like, women are the major sex in vampirism?
Let me read you this.
Read it to me.
Okay. Carmilla is an 1872 gothic novella by Irish author Sheridan Le Fanu and one of the early works of vampire fiction predating Bram Stoker's Dracula, which was released in 1897. Yeah.
This predates?
Yeah. They're both fucking Irish.
Fascinating.
26 years.
Nobody talks about this one. I thought Dracula was the first.
First published as a serial in the dark blue, the story is narrated by a young woman preyed upon by a female vampire named Carmilla, later revealed to be Mircalla, Countess Karnstein. Carmilla is an anagram for Mircalla. The character is a prototypical example of the lesbian vampire, expressing romantic desires towards the protagonist. The novella notably never acknowledges homosexuality as an antagonistic trait, leaving it subtle and morally ambiguous. The story is often anthologized and has been adapted many times in film and other media. So, like, the lesbian vampire trope has roots, first off, in one of the original OG stories.
Oh my gosh, so this was, like, one of the original tropes.
Yes, and the reason is, right, because vampires represent repressed sexual desires, and because everyone was like,
They definitely were repressing Laura.
They were definitely repressing the hell out of Laura. And they were also repressing, like, any homosexual desires of any kind. And they were like, clearly telling through this story that it is evil. They're like, let's think of something. And that's how we tell our stories. We villainize what we dislike. It's why for so long and so many, like, sex workers, right, are always... never depicted as fully actualized real human beings. They're always depicted as, like, yucky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's hard to find a story where you actually humanize a sex worker instead of being like, well, she is a prostitute. She deserved to die, which is, like, a common thing that happens in all the Law and Orders and everything.
However, I did start watching Succession, and they have a great sex worker in there.
Well, does a newer show.
Yeah.
We're finally calling them sex workers.
I have a feeling there's some excellent white, straight writers in that series.
Succession?
Yeah.
Oh! Thank you, straight white men of Succession.
I'm assuming, because they wrote an amazing sex worker. Of course, there could just be female in that writing group. Female writers in that writing
group. There could be a sex worker in that group.
Yeah, true fact.
Yeah.
All right. So no more credit to the straight white guys.
Take it away.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like if anyone starts listening to our podcast, they're going to have questions.
I mean...
And statements.
We have questions.
I mean, and statements.
Yeah.
It's true. It's very true. And I'm not gonna do that thing where I apologize.
Don't apologize.
I'm not gonna.
I'll do it on your behalf. She apologized.
I'm sorry. So sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Excuse me. Sorry.
Don't do it.
I'm not gonna.
Okay, what are other tropes?
That's the major one.
Like, okay, but what about blood play?
But I think that's just a sexual kink, Casey, Sammy.
Well, then what makes her a vampire?
Well, see, this is the interesting thing about this film adaptation is I don't really think that they...
Put a vampire in it?
Not really, but kind of. They made it a story about our fears and how people really believe in vampires, but it felt like a very real, non... magical.
So you're saying they staked a young girl?
Oh, I think so. Or no, I bet she was a vampire.
No, I think she was a vampire.
I think she was a vampire too.
I think so. Here's the tea, people.
Okay.
There was no traditional vampiring in this film.
I told you at the beginning, I said, Casey, this doesn't look like a vampire film, but it's a vampire film.
I think she's a vampire. And so the blood play I mentioned was there was no biting and sucking. All they did was become blood sisters, meaning that Carmilla cut herself and Laura ate of her blood. And then later, Laura... to continue the blood sister ritual and complete it, stabbed herself with a pin so she would bleed. And then Carmilla took her palm full of blood and put it on her lips and started making out with Laura.
They had many kisses.
They had many, many kisses.
And their kisses...
The blood was smeared all over.
And I greatly appreciated how the kisses started off and progressed through the course of the film. They didn't start out knowing how to make out. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They were like learning. Laura was learning to kiss.
It was a good slow play too, because I was like, oh my God, can these two 15-year-old girls please just make out? I felt so weird about it. I was like, I need to see them get down. What is happening? And, you know, I was ready to see them do more, too. But they did not.
Yeah. But at the same time, she was 15, so I'm glad that we didn't see a sex...
I mean, she was obviously at least 17 in the film.
You think so? The actor?
Oh, yeah. They have to be to do that kind of stuff.
You think so?
Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, this came out...
Laura.
In 2019. Little Hannah Ray, who played Laura, was born in 1997.
But this was made in 2019.
Uh-huh.
So she's 21-ish.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't put not of age people.
She pulled off 15 really
yeah,
well.
Yeah, she looked 15.
She really did.
Mm-hmm.
Great job.
We've watched a bunch of films now,
mm-hmm.
a large number of vampire films, where mm-hmm. there is no traditional vampiring.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was no biting of the neck and sucking of the butt. I feel like the majority of times we're like, there was no biting.
Okay, let's break it down, because I bet I can go through all of them. In Nosferatu, 1922, there was sucking through the trachea and twisting of the boob.
Yep.
Nosferatu, 1979, same story. Shadow of the Vampire, same story. Then we had Bela Lugosi, that's three. Then we had Bela Lugosi's 1931. He bit that poor flower salesman right on the neck. And then there was Dracula's daughter. And did she ever bite anybody?
No.
That's right, because Hayes Code, it would have been too lesbian-ish.
Lesbians clearly already existed. It predated Dracula, but for some reason here...
That Hayes Code
was like, no more.
Really dumb.
No more lesbians. Elizabeth Bathory. Oh,
yes, and we didn't do any nuck sexing. What is I meant to say neck sexing and neck sucking, and they all train wreck.
I love it.
And we did thirst, which was a lot of the glasses full of blood.
Yeah, the glasses full of blood, and I am rolling around in a bathtub full of blood.
And we've got a vampire grill. We've got vampire grills where we put our vampire teeth in.
Oh, yeah, fake teeth.
But we stab someone in the neck first.
And then suck it out.
Uh-huh. And then we have eternal, which is also putting something on your finger and stabbing and then riding.
Yeah.
Not lesbians. What is
up with all these vampire films, not vampiring?
And then we have The Lost Boys, which was, they had vampire face. And we watched them murder people, but never outright bite people in the neck. But we did watch them murder people.
Yeah. And then, we just take a sidebar really quick? And I just want to talk about how on the IMDb page for this film, one of the hashtags for the storyline is lesbian kiss.
Oh, okay.
Moving on.
Name and title. Show me the hashtags. One word title, vampire, governess, carriage, magician, picking a flower, female rear nudity. There was a butt in this?
No, there was no butt in it.
Based on novel, Carmilla, lesbian vampire, name and title, female vampire, lesbian kiss, female nudity. No, there wasn't. Time frame, 18th century. Brooch.
Brooch.
Casey, when you hashtag for Instagram, will you please make sure to hashtag brooch?
Yes.
Accident doctor, 18th century, F rated. What does that mean?
Rated up.
Rated up. Rated for fucking. No, there was no fucking in this.
Great. I've learned something about hashtagging, which is I'm just going to start hashtagging all of our Instagram posts with lesbian kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get so many more hits.
Oh my gosh. We're going to get 169 followers, and then I'm going to do another dick drawing.
I love it. Everybody check out our Instagram page because Sarah Marie drew a dick on it.
I really did.
She really did.
I was really proud.
All right. This is why I think she was a vampire, is because it's just another film where they don't really vampire very well, but she struck me as a vampire because she's up at night.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, what do you want to call me?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and name me.
Mm-hmm.
That was total vampire move.
Mm-hmm.
So the young girl who is not allowed to talk to this visitor.
Who is played by the wonderful Devrim Lingnau.
Mm-hmm.
Lingnau.
She gets up in the middle of the night to steal one of her father's books from the library because she's not allowed to look at them.
Yep.
And then she runs into this... Oh, fuck. What's her name?
Carmilla.
Oh, Carmilla, the name of the movie. She runs into Carmilla. Hashtag name in the title. She runs into Carmilla and she's like, are you going to tell me your name? And Carmilla's like, what do you want to call me?
Yeah. She's like, can you not remember your name? And she's like, You name me.
And she names her Carmilla. Total vampire move. And I don't think another 15-year-old girl from that time period would have come in and be like, she was just too confident and too worldly.
She also didn't have any family. There was no references.
Yep.
Like all she didn't have any, but here's the interesting thing, right? Like I'm 100% with you. I always wanted this to be a real vampire, but the thing I like about this film and the way that they adapted it is it has a lot of xenophobia because this girl has an accent. She's an outsider. And if I'm interpreting it as a French accent, the French and the English fucking hated each other at that time. That was not a French accent.
Mm-mm.
Felt French to me.
My neighbor is French.
Uh-huh.
I'm very familiar with the French accent. That one felt English. Or like
Carmilla?
A little to the left of English.
It was weird.
It was different. It was different.
It was different. See? That's what I'm saying. Xenophobia. She was an outsider. She didn't have any references. Her carriage driver was dead. They couldn't find her family. And they're like, a dog barked at her, so she must be the devil. Also, she's kissing women. Must be the devil. The thing that's so scary about it is, yes, I love the idea of it being a supernatural and her being a vampire, and is super sad that she got staked at the end, spoiler. But I also love the idea of it just being real people who assess risk in that particular way.
But here's the other thing.
Yeah.
While all of that is good and true and
fair,
and I think they probably did that on purpose in this film,
There
is a trail of other young women who have been left sick and the dead.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait.
But that could just be because it's the 18th century and people get a cough and then die. Or a toothache.
She's like Hepatitis Mary or whatever her name is.
I cannot even remember her name, and I know it very, very well. Because now I can only say...
Is it tuberculosis
No,
Mary?
It's typhoid Mary.
Typhoid Mary.
Hepatitis Mary. Tetanus Mary. Whooping cough Mary.
Flu Mary.
Typhoid Mary.
Oh, this Mary.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. You're saying she could be Typhoid Mary.
Yeah. A Typhoid Mary type. You know.
Okay. I will allow you to have this thought, but I am firmly in the other camp.
I can't believe in this bizarro fucking world I am arguing for the realism and you are arguing for the vampire story.
Who are we?
I don't know. Regardless, there's not a lot of trivia on this other than the like very cool trope of the source material. That's it. It was just a great film made in 2019, really well acted. It also has, I love this actor, Tobias Menzies in it. He was famously in Outlander. He played the very bad gentleman in Outlander, and he was also on Game of Thrones. And he was great as the Doctor, and Jessica Raine as Miss Fontaine was wonderful.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit more about the story so that people know what we're talking about.
Because, I mean, there's no more trivia or blood tropes to talk about.
So we're on to garlic pressing?
Yeah, we're on to garlic pressing. Okay.
Once upon a time, there was a young girl who was left-handed.
And every day, her mean-ass governess tied her left hand behind her back and made her walk around doing stuff.
Until one day she was finally got her wish of being visited by another girl her age who was sick.
Yeah. And because she got visited by that girl, she got super titillated.
And because she got super titillated, she also got super sick.
Yeah. And because she got super sick, they blamed it on the new girl.
Until finally one day they killed that new girl.
Yeah. And the end.
And ever since that day,
the fucking Lara doesn't have a left hand because they amputated it off.
Mm-hmm. I think it also implies that she's a vampire at the end.
That'd be very cool.
How are you arguing for the not vampire story when her reflection was the dead girl?
I'm not arguing, but I'm also saying that we finally got a good vampire film that does what a vampire film is supposed to do.
You know what would have pushed it over the edge for
symbolism.
Me?
Symbolism!
I just needed a little more vampire innocence. Like, Laura cut her palm and blood was pooling in it. By the way, we finally had a film that nailed what human blood looks like.
Oh my goodness, didn't we just?
Yes, I believed it. I was like, that is blood from her hand. It's not paint.
Mm-hmm. Also, she used that really sharp brooch pin.
Brooch. And just like stabbed the fuck out of herself.
She probably fucking got tetanus. From the brooch.
From Tetanus Mary.
That is 100%. Here's the thing. Carmilla just really wants friends, loves a blood sister. And then like all of her friends she visited were just finding these fucking like rusty ass nails to gouge themselves with and were dying. So she's Tetanus Mary.
I love those girls in grade school where you just meet them and they're like, want to be my blood sister?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I had a lot of weddings in kindergarten that I attended. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Okay. But what I was saying, she cut herself with the brooch and the blood kind of pooled there because apparently she stabbed the shit out of herself.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with like the seductive rubbing of the blood on her lips and then making out. I needed Carmilla to bend over and lap and like clean the blood off her palm.
Or for her eyes to dilate, you know?
Or anything. Like mm-hmm. I needed there to be a little more like bloodlust on her side.
They had lust though. The blood was definitely a turn on.
Yeah. It was blood play for sure. Sure.
Yeah.
But it's not like it gave them eternal life.
That's true. If only someone had 10 minutes of exposition at the beginning of the film.
I know. That would have fixed everything.
Don't worry, Underworld, we're coming for you.
So the story here, it's like set in the 1700s. One of the reasons I loved this movie. It was really slow, but also fascinating because...
Well, and I think that it was really slow for a purpose, which was to make you feel fucking insanely repressed and like you had to do something, which is what women felt like when their whole job for Tuesday was staring at a bug or whatever.
Yeah, but like they did such a good job of accurately representing what life was like for people like that during that time. So there's a girl, Laura, who's like 15 or younger, a governess, a dad who's Laura's dad, who's the mother has died.
Wait, is Detective Raymond Pope a detective?
I think Detective Raymond Pope is a detective. Laura's dad, who is a dad, is there, and a doctor. And like these are the people in the film because they live in the middle of nowhere in the 1700s. There's just not a lot going on. So they depict, I don't know how they depicted being boring in such a riveting way. All Laura did was memorize a poem and cross stitch and go on walks. And they did such a good job of showing what life was like back then for everyone, including females, that when they got a visitor in the middle of the night, it was terribly exciting.
Oh my gosh, it was so exciting.
Well, this is a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big, big deal. So there, they set up this beautiful platform of Laura being bored out of her mind. Her friend Charlotte was supposed to come visit them, but Charlotte died. She got sick and couldn't come, and Laura got really sad. So her want is, the want they set up is that she just wants a friend. You know, this girl shows up in the middle of the night. So she gets her friend. Problem is, her friend is a fucking vampire. A lesbian vampire. Nothing wrong with lesbians.
Not at all.
Maybe a problem if they're a vampire.
Oh, I think only a problem if you live in 18th century England where people are really looking for reasons to stake you through the heart.
That's true.
Yeah.
But so this girl comes. She's obviously a little different. They start being friends, Laura and Carmilla. And Carmilla kind of leads Laura astray and gets her to...
Laugh.
Run.
Talk.
Question if her left hand really is the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Make out with her.
Mm-hmm.
Become blood sisters.
Mm-hmm. Get tetanus.
Run away with her. And then Carmilla find them, and Carmilla gets staked through the heart, and Laura loses her mind about it. She gets really sad about it. And the movie didn't get really fucked up until the end. So if you want to watch it for yourself, great. Just skip ahead.
Disagree.
You don't like the end?
No, I love the end. I don't think you should skip ahead. I think the end really pays off because you've got to like endure all of that repression.
It was extra creepy because in the beginning of the film, the governess is binding Laura's left hand behind her back, and Laura's like, la la la, this is fine. Sarah Marie had to tell me that. So Laura is left-handed, and back then, if you were left-handed, you were the devil because people were only right-handed, and only weirdos were left-handed. It couldn't possibly be okay.
Do you know that's why there's a lower percentage of left-handed people? Because they
bred it out of them?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, there must have been more right-handed people for them to think that the left hand was weird back then.
I don't know the origin of...
That's why we have the internet at our fingertips. Left hand, why bad?
Why was left hand considered evil? The association of the directional left with evil is likely attributed to the dominance of right-handed people within a population, and consequently the awkwardness of motions made from the left side of the body. Well, that's just rude.
I mean, think of all of the things they were really dumb about back then. That's not really too far to the left. No pun intended.
Bias or design is usually unfavorable against people who are left-handed. Handwriting is one of the biggest sources of disadvantage for left-handed people, other than for those forced to work with certain machinery. About 90% of the world's population is right-handed, and many common articles are designed for efficient use by right-handed people. Currently amongst Muslims and in some societies, including Nepal and India, it is customary to use the left hand for cleaning oneself with water after defecating. Oh, in many religions, including Christianity, the right hand of God is the favored hand. For example, Jesus sits at God's right side. God's left hand, however, is the hand of judgment. The Archangel Gabriel is sometimes called God's left hand. Oh, I didn't know that. And sits on God's left side.
That's really fucked up.
Yeah.
To tell all people who use their left hand that they're like the devil.
Think about the word righteous.
Yeah, there's no leftious.
Black magic is sometimes referred to as the left-handed path, which is strongly associated with Satanism.
Oh my God. It's ridiculous. Amazing the things they believed back then.
In Ghana, pointing, gesturing, giving, and receiving items with the left hand is considered taboo or rude.
Huh. Wow. Wow. Okay, so Laura is left-handed, and because of all of these reasons, they believed the left hand would summon the devil. So she wasn't allowed to use her left hand, even though it was her dominant hand. So her governess would tie this hand behind her back, and Laura would go about her day only using her right hand to train her right hand. So she would be right-handed. Somewhere in the middle of the movie, she stops giving a fuck and starts using her left hand. Why did we start talking about this? What was I doing?
You were garlic pressing.
Oh, I was garlic pressing the end of the... Oh, so in the end of the movie, they kill Carmilla. And you think Laura's going to be fine. Her dad's carrying her off because she's really sick, because that's what happens when you start turning to a vampire.
When you get tetanus.
So there's this ending scene that is so uncomfortable. And I didn't even notice it at first. It looks like Laura is just standing by a lake, and the music is intensifying in a way that would communicate that something really intense is happening. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, I didn't say anything, but I was like, this is some really intense music for just a girl standing by a lake. And then Sarah Marie pointed it out, two things. One is, they cut her left hand the fuck off because that's apparently what summoned the devil to them. So she's standing there by a tree with no left hand. It's been amputated.
Let's be clear. She was amputated at the elbow. It wasn't just the hand.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it was half her arm.
Yeah.
was gone.
Yeah.
And her reflection in the lake was that of Carmilla. And that is why the music was elevating.
Dun, 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 it was creepy.
And it was gross and it made me uncomfortable. Like the vampire was gone, but she still lived in this time where her arm could be amputated for being left-handed. That this is why I love this movie so much. It was an amazing depiction, or at least a very fascinating depiction of what life was like back then and how stupid they were and like the dumb shit they did that people had to live through.
I love that you were like, I'm gonna be more positive in the podcast. I'm gonna be more positive.
I was. I said I love this movie. I think it's fascinating the dumb shit these assholes believed. Oh my god, they cut off her arm.
I know.
And this is why she was a vampire. I thought she was turning. She was the next vampire because Carmilla was her reflection in the water.
I don't know.
How well do you explain that?
Well, I'm still going with the symbolism of it, and I just think that you can't cut out your sexual desire.
You're thinking it just represents her lesbianism.
I think it lives inside her. Yes.
This brings us to the next topic that Sarah and I disagree on, which is Sarah Marie believes that Laura is a lesbian. And, the synopsis of the film kind of states as much. But to me, I think she was seduced by a vampire.
Yeah, but I also don't think that, man, okay. There's this moment before any vampire seduction has happened. Laura's showing her the grounds and they're running around. And then Laura looks at her and gives her this look and says the following. I don't look like that in my dress. Because Carmilla didn't have any clothes, right? Because she got into a carriage accident and lost her clothes.
Lost her luggage.
I don't know. Yeah, where was her luggage? Why didn't they get the trunks?
I don't know. Excellent question.
Why didn't they get
She's a vampire. She doesn't have that vase.
There's a vase that was just laying in the grass. Anyway, so they dress her in Laura's clothes. Because they're like the same size. And then Laura looks at her and just the way that Laura looks at Carmilla and says like, I don't look like that in clothes. It just conveyed two things. Like one, that thing that happens when you're a 15-year-old girl and other bodies are changing around you. And you're like, why don't I have boobs yet? Because you're never going to get them, Sarah Marie. Your boobs are always going to be small. And it's going to be okay. And you like them that way.
Well, me too, girl.
Yeah.
Me too.
Yeah.
Small boobs are where it's at.
Twist. Dial boobs. Boop, 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 boop. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for calling the titty phone.
Wow. But she looked at her that way, but she also looked at her, dare I say, with sexual hunger. There was something in that look that just, to me, spoke volumes about how she was looking at Carmilla. I don't think she knew that she felt that way about Carmilla because I don't really think that she was sexually awakened yet. But I just think that the way that she responded to all those kisses, it wasn't just like, you're overpowering me with your sexualism. It was like, oh shit, kissing girls is great.
I think that's a very good argument.
Thank you.
I remember that moment. Oh, I don't look that way in that dress. And, you know, in my mind, no, that was a total lesbian move.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because I think a heterosexual girl in that moment would be like, oh, fuck, I'm not as hot as she is. She wouldn't be like,
where are my boobs?
She wouldn't be like, oh, my God, nice tits.
That was the subtext of Laura in that moment.
Yeah. In a very, like, innocent 15-year-old girl.
Yeah. I like your body is nice. For me to look at versus like, I like your body. I wish I had it.
Yeah. Oh my God. Good job, lesbian.
I win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yes. I'll buy it.
Casey, how do you feel about all them bug interstitials? What did those mean?
You know, I liked them better than all the close up on Dracula's eyes. I will say that.
Legit.
They added to the creepiness. So there are bug interstitials all over the place. And Sarah Marie started the funniest joke ever of being like, Tuesday stared at the ladybugs. Wednesday stared at the ants because Laura had nothing to do.
Mm-hmm. Thursday put fingers in water for hours.
I mean, I was okay with them. I wish there was a little more payoff in the end for the bug interstitials. I think it was just supposed to add atmosphere and mood.
It would have been cool if we saw Carmilla covered in bugs at the end, you know? Like the ants were.
Yes.
Like the ants were eating her.
That would have been amazing payoff.
And then she would.
Or even just one bug upon her when she laid there staked.
Yeah.
Would have done it for me.
Yeah.
They had some really amazing foley in this film, like the loudest toast that has ever existed in a film. It was weird.
Let's talk about that governess.
Oh, yeah.
I think she and Tobias Menzies fucked because they were showing how a heteronormative couple, even though she's a governess and he's a doctor and they should definitely not be together, and there was tons of sexual repression and governess was grumpy, Miss Grumps a lot, that they could fuck without consequence. They had a secret sexing or dry humping. I'm not really sure.
It's hard to tell with so much skirts.
But there was definitely some like slamming of her head against the wall, which is...
It's a classic sex scene where the guy picks the girl up. She's against the wall and somehow he's standing and she's just magically levitating there. Like he's just holding her and like...
He's holding her up with his dick.
And like thrusting into her at the same time. And for a minute there, I think probably dudes might watch that and be like, yeah, fuck her. Like, it looks like really sexy sex. And women are always like, for a minute, you're like, yeah, but also, what? I don't think that would work.
How?
That's not how that, I wouldn't, you can't hold me up and thrust into me. And I'm pretty sure that.
I always just thought you had very strong forearms. You know what I mean? Like, he was like. Holding her by the legs and also pivoting on her penis. No. On her penis. You know? It's just all forearm strength.
I mean.
I don't know how bodies work either, though, or mechanics, or muscles.
I think it just looks sexy for movies, but it's not real. It's like shower sex.
Yeah. There's actually like a little chair built into the wall there.
Yeah. There's an apple box under them. Yeah. Anyways, there was this scene where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the governess and the doctor are boning because they're having a conversation and he has to go somewhere and do something. And they realize that this girl is a vampire now and she's scared. She's like, don't leave me here alone. Like, it's a moment of vulnerability on her part. And she gets close to him. She's like, please don't leave me here. And all of a sudden, he just maxed down on her.
I think she kissed him too.
I mean, they do. But like, he went for it and she was like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that implied that they had had a relationship.
I think so, because you remember she was walking with Laura and she was talking about feeling excited and then acting on it and then it changing the course of her life. And you remember when she and Dr. Menzies were walking on the road together and he was all like, can you hear me? And she's like, rah, 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 rah.
Was that the doctor?
Yes, that was the doctor. Casey got confused between the only two men in this whole gosh darn picture.
You men all look the same.
Tobias Menzies was Dr. Rehnquist and Greg Wise was Mr. Bauer, who was Laura Bauer's dad.
Okay, but look, they're both white men of the same age with gray wigs on and three tricorn hats.
And the film did such a really beautiful job of lighting the film by candlelight and making it feel very dark and very claustrophobic and very time appropriate. And for the first third of the film, only the female characters were illuminated. All of the men were in shadow, or the light was away from them, which I guess is a way of saying in shadow.
Yeah.
Backlit. Backlit! Ha-ha.
There we go.
So I can understand how you got confused.
So I confuse men because apparently they all look the same, but... So that was the doctor on the road with her. So she, when the governess had to went to the carriage and pulled this book, this sinister book. It was a book of, basically it was a book that mirrored the book that Laura was looking at in the beginning of the film, which is like some sort of medical book that showed people's entrails.
Yeah. And then the book that Carmilla had on the carriage ride was like, there's a goat dude. And like, there's just some block prints that were scandalous.
Scandalous block prints.
Yeah.
And she got really upset about it. So the doctor was like chasing after her on the road and she was ignoring him and he was like, are you in a hurry? I love like the indirectness of conversation back then.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you running away from me is what I would say, but he's like, are you in a hurry?
It's one of my favorite things about Jane Austen, because it's a whole bunch of people staring at each other and saying, are you well? Yes, I'm well. And you're like, oh my God, they want to fuck.
So bad.
So bad.
So now that explains that relationship on the road. You're right. Yep. They have a relationship. It is a secret. They boned. I still argue that scene could be removed from the film and it would stand on its own.
I agree. But I also like it because it makes me reflect and go, oh.
Well, you're clearly much better at connecting the dots than I am because they are clearly laid out. And I was just like, are they boning?
I also watched it one time before in the middle of the night and I barely remembered it. But I did remember them fucking, and I did remember Carmilla dying at the end.
Okay.
So it allowed me to, like, connect some things together.
Yeah. That is a very subtle, beautifully subtle storyline in this film. And accurate, time period appropriate, I believe.
And then the smugness I felt coming off of her when they were standing in front of the fireplace talking to the servants afterwards about how they wanted to protect the house from evil. And she was like, I want to protect the house from evil. But she had that, like, I finally had sex in 20 years glow.
Yeah, I'm empowered.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad with power. I'm mad with the release of an orgasm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think she came during that sex because...
I know. It's impossible. Angle's wrong.
The angle's wrong. The penis just went directly in. Mm-hmm. There was no...
Unless her G-spot was just in the right.
Unless she has a prostate that's super close to her vaginal canal.
I did not think that... Oh, yeah, that's right. Women can have prostate orgasms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the prostate is set in different areas in different women. So some women have the prostate is sent way back and some women it's right next to the vaginal canal. So if it's really close to the vaginal canal and the penis goes in, it stimulates the prostate.
Huh.
If it's a little further back, you have to get the prostate all turned on by doing other stuff, and then it enlarges and engorges like it does, and then it is accessible through the vaginal canal. Some women's prostates are really far away from the vaginal canal, so no matter what you do, your penis isn't going to get her to have an orgasm.
What about anal?
I can't speak to that. I don't know where the prostate is in relationship to the anus.
Oh, okay.
But maybe...
I just thought if it was far enough back, it would be in your
closer
butt.
To the butt.
Yeah, it would be closer to the butt.
I mean, let's hope that if a woman can't feel it in the vagina, she can feel it in the butt. Anyways, what I'm saying is...
Casey contains multitudes.
I contain multitudes, and there is a smaller number of women that have a prostate so close to their vaginal canal that just sticking a penis in and going at it is going to give them pleasure.
Yep.
Please take note of that, men who just think sticking a penis into a vagina brings pleasure to a woman.
Good job, Emily Harris, director. Good job for directing this.
Yeah. So the treatment of the male character, since this was women, written and directed by women, it's hard to look at it through this lens. I think it was great.
I agree. The look on the dad's face when he was carrying Laura home after was very like, what have I done? Oh shit, I'm a bad parent.
I have to cut off her left hand and it's tormenting me.
What has happened? Has my precious baby girl been kissing other girls? I don't know. There's a lot
there. He was very, very conflicted.
Yeah.
The doctor was great.
How does a human being get wrinkles that way? Like, how does his face have to bend?
It could be a scar.
I don't know. They're equal on both sides. They're like jowl.
Maybe he's really big smile lines.
It's just so interesting.
It is interesting. The doctor had agency and was empowered when he was working on somebody medically to say what people needed to do. And so did the women. And it was great. Even though women back then had less power and did nothing, they were not allowed to look at books.
Here's the thing. It's not about the women having power in the society that you're putting them in. It's about watching like a fully realized human being exist within the context of their environment as a fully human being.
Mm-hmm.
And you could see that the governess had a whole bunch of shit going on, even though she was just angry buttering that toast.
So angry buttering that toast.
She angry.
That loud, loud toast.
She was, you know what I mean? Like, you could see that she was really confined and she was strict for a reason. And she wasn't just being mean to Laura to be mean. Like, this was the way that the world made her. And I don't think she necessarily liked it either, but probably didn't have the agency to. Interesting.
This was a woman-driven film. And they did great.
Casey, have we finally watched a good vampire film?
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
It was real good. I highly recommend watching Carmilla. It's slow, but it's great.
It's really beautiful.
Yeah. It is a good little snippet of life back then.
It's erotic.
Even though there's nothing more than kissing and you don't see anything.
But see, that's my exact point though. An erotic film it's about eliciting an emotional response. And so when I'm watching this film and I'm thinking with Laura, dear God, do I have to stare at another ant pile today? And then a person shows up and she's gorgeous and I see her, you know what I mean? It allows me to vicariously live through her. So when I finally get, I had a big release. That's all I'm saying.
Sarah Marie came so hard.
Oh my God.
They did such a good job of setting up the world that you were there emotionally every time something happened.
And like, you were like, happy.
Somebody's at the door. Oh my God, she looks hot in that dress. Are they going to get it on? Like, they did such a good job of stringing you along and getting you to feel exactly what they wanted you to feel.
You're like, Laura, get it.
Get it, Laura. Get it, Laura. Do it. Except for that time they were making out by the fireplace. And I was like, girls, you clearly have not done this before. The governess is going to walk in. Come on.
And oh, well, did. And sneaking out of the house where they're just like stomping around. Yeah, and
the loudest house ever.
My favorite scene.
Oh, what is your favorite scene?
My favorite scene was the dream scene where she's getting sawed in half.
Ooh, that was good. Mm-hmm. That was good.
The imagery on that was phenomenal. I also really liked the staking scene at the end.
The staking scene was really good. It was also so gory, but there was no gore. You heard a woman being staked, but you didn't see it.
Effective use of blood.
Effective use of blood. My favorite scene was the end scene. That was uncomfortable in the best ways. That is a cherry on top.
And also, my first thought on that last scene was, she's bad at throwing rocks. And
and then you're like, oh, because it's her non-dominant hand and that's her only option. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. I also really loved the lighting in this whole movie.
It was beautiful.
It was really well lit.
It was really dark.
And the cinematography was pretty good too.
It made me want to go home and turn on all of the lights in my house.
100%. It made me really appreciate electricity.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
And no wonder why our circadian rhythm is so fucked, because like as soon as candlelight comes out, I'm just like asleep.
Good night.
Good night.
I have a new section that I didn't tell you about.
Shut the fuck up. I'll add it to the spreadsheet. What is it?
I don't have a name for it yet, but okay. It's, since you're a vampire expert and I know nothing about vampires, it's called Casey Tries to Name a Vampire Fact That Sarah Marie Didn't Know.
Oh my God. That's the perfect title. Casey Tries to Name a Vampire Fact. What an adorable idiot. Wait, what?
Are you ready for my vampire fact?
Yeah, I'm ready.
You have to let me know if you've ever heard this or not.
Okay.
One of the ways in which to kill a vampire is to boil them in vinegar.
What?
I won my own game! Out of the game!
Did you fucking make this up or Google this?
No, I Googled it.
Is this where Easter comes from?
Yes! This is why we color eggs.
Boy, why? What? How?
Can you imagine trying to, like, that is the most ineffective way of killing a vampire. Hold on, tie him up. Boil him in vinegar.
Why?
Somebody get the vinegar. Put the whole human in the vinegar pod. Bring it to a boil.
Boil in vinegar, vampire. Why? This species of vampire, Catacano? Vampedia. This species of vampire can be destroyed by decapitating and boiling its head in vinegar, trapping it and isolating it behind salt water, burning its nails. Whoa.
Guys, I just blew Sarah Marie's mind.
God, I just had the biggest relief. Wow.
Did you just discover this website called Vampedia?
I mean, you'd think I would have seen it before.
I am nailing this.
You are nailing this so hard. You're nailing this like a man nailing a woman against a wall.
Amazing.
So hard. That's so weird. Encyclopedia of Vampire Mythology. Purchase. That's great. I love that. Hey, Casey, you lost a lot of blood. What's going on with your period of this time in your life?
Do I have anything going on? I'm really excited about the fact that I'm working on this other project with Sarah Marie called Movie Worthy Woman, and I've edited a bunch of those videos, and I think they're really great, and I got some really good feedback from Sarah Marie, and I'm excited to release it soon.
She showed me some of the footage today, and it's really, 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 really lovely.
Thanks.
Yeah, I like it. I've read them and edited them, and I was still like, this is so fascinating. Love learning.
Yay.
Love learning.
What about you? How's your period of this time in your life?
You know, it's a little bit rough right now because my husband has COVID. And so I have evacuated the house so that I can keep COVID safe and I can keep my cast COVID safe as we...
And me. It's mostly about me.
It's mostly Casey. While we rehearse and smear blood on each other's lips. Mm-hmm. So that's been rough because I miss him very, very dearly. And more importantly, I miss my cat.
Oh, your kittens. How is he changing their litter and stuff when he feels like garbage?
He says he's doing it every other day, so I'm pretty impressed. Also,
he loves his cats.
I would have to be very remiss if I didn't say that I miss my husband very, very much, not just the cats.
Yeah, how long have you been away from him?
I don't know, forever.
I know. It's been...
Saturday. It's been a week and a day.
A week and a day, yeah, because you didn't want to do a thing last week because I was sick, and then he immediately got sick.
Mm-hmm. And he's starting to feel better, but now he's lost his sense of smell, so maybe he's never going to change the litter box again. I don't know.
Or maybe he should always change the lizard box because he can't smell.
The lizard box?
Lizard box.
To be fair, though, our litter box is pretty badass and it doesn't really smell.
You have the best litter box. Every other house I walk into, I'm like, oh, a cat lives here because you can smell the litter box.
Here's the thing, though.
Sarah Marie, you cannot smell litter boxes because she is a magical genius.
You got to change it regularly, and feline pine is the savior.
Yeah, she uses feline pine in her litter box instead of dumb cat litter, and her house doesn't smell like cat litter.
Dumb cat litter is dumb, and it is real bad for the environment.
Feline pine, people, if you don't want your house to smell like a cat litter box.
Yeah, thank you for that public service announcement.
You're welcome.
Hey, the sources are the life. We used Wikipedia, we used IMDb. We didn't use TV Tropes, but instead we used vampire.fandom.com, and soon we will be using the Encyclopedia of Vampire Mythology, and we watched this film on Shudder, S-H-U-D-D-E-R, mm-hmm. Shudder.
And just so you all know, this podcast was not sponsored by Feline Pine.
It was not, but if Lone Star Pine Bedding wants to sponsor this podcast, I would support it, and yeah. I would talk your product up.
It is legit good, it's but we're really not going to say that again unless you pay us.
Yeah, pay us money. Money, 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 money. So here's my question for you. What do you want to watch next? I got a few options for you.
Name it.
Okay. Option number one, we watch Stoker, which is also not a vampire film, but I think it's a vampire film, but it's not a vampire film at all. Like, Carmilla is like, not a vampire film, but it's a vampire film. Mm-hmm. Stoker is not a vampire film, but I feel like it's a vampire film, even though it's not a vampire film. Number two, we can watch some more Carmilla films because there are a ton more Carmilla films.
Oh, because it's the first book ever.
Yeah. Yeah, there's so
this novel has been turned into a film before.
Yeah, you know how we've got the Elizabeth Bathory section, yeah. We've got the Dracula section. Carmilla has its own section in the vampire world.
What?
Yeah. Or option number three, we can do Casey's Wild Ride, where you just pick any film you find.
A Russian roulette vampire film from whatever pops up on like the Netflix search first.
Yeah.
Which you know is going to be fucking fantastic.
Oh, yeah. But do we want to watch like a good film again? Do we want to watch a who knows film?
My question is this. I feel like maybe people got bored when we did three in a row of the same story.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean when we did back to back Dracula?
Yeah.
So do you want to like rotate through? Like now we watch a Dracula film and then we watch
it. Yeah. What if we have these ones, Dracula and girl, Elizabeth, I love that. Bathory and Carmilla.
Yes.
We can just rotate through them. But also,
and then
like,
we pick one insert, from the other category.
Yeah, the other category.
Yes.
Or a roulette.
There's a bajillion in the other category.
Then let's do.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, and we'll let the people know.
And then we'll let the people know.
You people will let you know.
Bloodsucking Bastards.
2015.
We're going to watch Bloodsucking Bastards, a 2015 American comedy horror film directed by Brian James O'Connell, written by blah, 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 blah. Office sales manager turns into a vampire something.
Great.
Yep.
Great.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah. Thank you so much. We really love this podcast.
We do. We hope you love it too.
Yeah. Later, suckers.
Bye, suckers.
Bloodsuckers is a podcast by Little Renegade Films. It stars Casey Zanii and Sarah Marie Curry. Title and closing song are by Tosin Awofeso. Follow us on the social medias at Little Renegade Films. Thanks for listening. Rawr.